hectic.
Welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 79. I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and today with me is...
The irredeemable Gomer.
Adam.
Joshua.
Just Heather.
J. Jonah Jesse.
The Cookie Anarchist.
Glad to have you back.
It's always a fun time when I'm here.
Oh, Lord, we're in trouble today.
Give this man a sedative now, please. I don't know if I can take this much enthusiasm.
How many different impersonations do you think you got in him today?
Enough.
He's probably got enough to make.
We were talking about the Joker run for his money. In the UK, he's like 11. He's already writing like theses at Oxford stuff. He like goes right into his British.
How can you get an 11-year-old to write a helicopter thesis? Mom. I'm 37 and I won't.
Helicopter mom. He was telling
me, you need to do your work. No. Oh, you're going to do your homework now, don't you? Why don't you go out and get the money from me? I'm living in this little flat here. Will you go to Oxford? I'm suffering for you.
That's the best part. It's not even words anymore.
Cookie was telling us about this earlier, because apparently the only reason why it even made the news is because this kid was black and he's 11 years old, and he wrote a paper for Oxford, and they said what his IQ is already higher than Einstein's or Hawking's.
That's not hard to do, because Einstein's IQ was only like 75. So
was it?
No,
yeah, it was low.
No, his was 170.
Yeah, he looked him up.
They tested him initially. They were talking about
who had the.
Oops, sorry.
Highest IQ in the world.
That's when he didn't care.
And that's where they had that whole conversation.
Well, Walter O'Brien.
He didn't care about school. He was just multiple choice.
Walter O'Brien, his IQ was 196. He's like the fourth highest ever recorded.
I see the patterns.
And I love Scorpio. I love the T-shirt Scorpio.
Well, I failed statistics.
I know.
Because he just did.
Hey.
I got an A in statistics,
ever,
usually.
And by A, you mean.
Hey, what was that guy's name who had the highest IQ ever recorded?
Something Cersei or something like that?
Yeah,
I happen to be a Cersei.
It was Milton Bradley. I think his name was.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was.
His IQ was like somewhere between 250 and 300.
Oh my gosh!
That's like
somebody had to have a genius IQ to come up with Monopoly.
An operation.
300. How can you not cure cancer
with
that kind of IQ?
Came up with Monopoly.
No, some girl I thought came up with Monopoly. Some woman.
No, it was
Mila Kunis.
Yeah, Mila Kunis.
Socialist by the name of Charles Darwin.
Oh, he wanted to show how terrible
capitalism was, and it backfired completely.
Capitalism message.
It is. There's only one winner. It really is an anti-cap. That's really how capitalism works.
But that's the spirit of capitalism. We're going to take your anti-capitalism propaganda and sell the shit out of it.
And not only sell it, but then we're going to make a Simpsons version and a Lord of the Rings version.
A Star Wars
and a
Wonder
Dead version. Yeah.
And for the record,
yeah.
Since how it's on there,
okay.
All the April 1st stuff,
Pranksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just stupid.
The coolest one I saw wasn't even really a prank. Google turned their Google Maps into Pac-Man.
Yeah. Okay,
that's a neat idea.
It was
really cool.
Google always wins at that. They'll turn like the Google Maps into an 8-bit map for a while.
I remember that last year. That was awesome.
Especially, I hate it especially as a person
internet.
Who is.
But we live in an era of fake news now.
True. Yeah, just look at Fox News.
We have the Colbert Report. I mean, that is satire.
We don't have the Colbert Report anymore. Satire.
It's different.
Satire is different than these
April Fool's quote unquote jokes.
Well, they're just fabricated lies.
Just to get some attention or whatever.
Well, the best ones.
Yeah, like Eminem has died.
Well, in that case, they may have been
originally posted on the 1st, but people won't see them for 3 months from now.
Those are my favorite ones where they post, dude, did you see this news story? And I was like, yeah, did you see the date of that news story? And we're in December, you know, and it says April 1st.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing, the fact that they're being featured in
Batman v Superman.
Yes, that was what, from last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Batman versus Superman. There was a rumor that the Batman building in Nashville was going to be in that.
Yeah.
And people posted it just 2 or 3 months ago. Like, oh man, that's going to be in there.
I met the guy at DMX who did that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing,
though. Honestly, I think anyone who does that kind of stuff probably deserves a good swift kick to the balls.
It's all good and fun, but...
But it's doing more harm than good. It's detriment to society in general.
But you can't say that in the way that the Onion... Like, people think the Onion's real.
Yes, the Onion deserves a good kick in the balls because it doesn't...
It doesn't matter what day it is.
Yeah,
it really doesn't.
They are doing more harm than they are doing good.
No, they're mainly
in the internet age because it's the equivalent. Every time somebody does that, they're pissing in the pool.
Well, no, I don't think so.
And they'll never come back.
But hold on. They're pissing in the pool, but it does it not also breed more responsible internet users by, because then they say, oh, no,
no,
look at
this
story.
No, it
doesn't.
And then you can say, no, it doesn't.
But it allows us, it allows us to talk smack on idiots who refuse to find a multiple source.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's easy. I can find multiple source of any Onion article because some idiot has already quoted it.
But
at least
find a source that doesn't quote the Onion.
But here's the thing.
A source using your...
But here's the thing I'm wondering. Since it is April Fool's Day, and you know that every show is like doing their little spoof because of April Fool's, do you think Fox News is actually going to not do their normal right-wing propaganda and actually tell the truth as their April Fool's thing?
I think
that would be a good April Fool's for them, because people would never expect that.
I think their version
of
right-wing propaganda is truthful in the context of what they're trying to see.
Yeah, but
it's the proper stance of what they're trying to push.
Yeah,
well,
exactly, which is evangelical, which is
might agree with.
Which is what is what they are, evangelical Republicans. Yeah. That's their base. That's all they talk to, and the people that they talk to are trying to get back to an America back in 1950.
I'm a hell-bound Democrat, so they'll never have me watching
them. There's
a
certain...
You know, okay.
I think we can best sum it up with the ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi saying, what I told you was true. But from a certain point of view.
Yeah, from a certain point of view.
Here's all this bashing on Fox News for putting out conservative Republican opinions. It's like, you might as well just bash Madden for talking sports. That's their deal.
But here's the thing. There are other conservative news outlets that look at other people's opinions and don't go, well, you're just dead wrong.
That's
the thing.
But here's the news, which you obviously don't.
Yeah, I don't. They're not a news outlet. They're a propaganda outlet. And you can. That is absolutely proven concerning the fact that every other single news outlet on the planet makes fun of them.
We have a certain understanding.
Well, you know,
hold on a second. We have a certain understanding in America where we expect our news to be, for some reason, I don't know why, a responsible entity providing it.
And it should be.
No, that has never been the case.
I know.
Even
I'm just saying
America,
it should be
even
responsible.
In America, before the Revolutionary War and Ben Franklin owned all these papers, the reason we...
He didn't really own that many of them.
No.
Well, he owned...
The Philadelphia Gazette.
Well, exactly. He was syndicated, but he still owned them. They were still his presses. He would give them the presses, and then they would print, and he'd get the money. But anyway, he leaned heavily towards revolution, and that's partly why we had a revolution, because they were able to control the media and the propaganda to an extent.
Yeah, but he was trying to avoid a war in the first place.
Well, that doesn't matter. Well, war happened. It doesn't matter what trying to do. Because I'm sure Fox News tries to push us towards war or avoid us from war all the time.
No, they try to push war as much as possible.
Yeah, but are we at war with Iran even though they've been pushing it for a decade?
No,
we're closer to peace with Iran than we've ever been.
Yeah, minus the fact that idiot freshman senator Tom Cotton sent that letter
that's
to Iran
thing.
Going, you
it
don't
is.
Know
that's
what our government
thing.
Is like, and
that's
it doesn't matter what
thing.
This guy says,
well,
because he's going to be gone in a year,
that's
and
a good
we're
thing
still going
to
be here.
Because it shows to Iran that, you know what, our State Department is not our government. And they kind of have an understanding.
They weren't the State.
If you read,
Tom Cotton wasn't the State Department.
I know,
he was just
the
this
State
guy.
Department are the people who are dealing with Iran as far as the peace negotiations go, to lift the sanctions. The letter that Iran sent back to us in reply to that was like, yeah, we understand that. There's a lot of people in Iran who want peace, but we're controlled by radical Islamic mullahs. Comparing congressional Republicans to
that
Islamic
mullahs,
which
It's about the...
It's almost fitting the way they're very... But
and I'll grant you that.
Is this April Fool's? Is this what we're talking about on April
We're being embarrassed.
I don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Well, this is a comic book show, and we're talking about politics, so it is kind of an April Fool's thing, a little bit.
We got you good, people.
Yeah, we got you good. Boring as hell.
Yeah. It's like, why did I turn into Al Jazeera News or CNN? I didn't sign up for this shit. I want to talk about comic books.
What's going on, Larry?
Okay. No, what do you got? I was going to say, and the reason I brought this up is...
Because you hate this holiday.
He hates everything.
Why do we even celebrate April Fool's anymore? I mean, is there any real validity or valid point to it?
The whole reason we celebrate it in the first place.
I think it's fun. It's not one of those... You know, it's not one of these...
I don't mind the whole...
Yeah.
You know,
play, have fun, ha-ha.
Yeah.
My issue is the fact that...
Fake news.
The fake news is a legitimate issue. There's enough lying out there.
Yeah.
On...
There's enough twisting of the news already. Satirical
news is good.
And I'm saying just on the internet, there's enough mistruths out there as it is. We just don't need to propagate it anymore.
I like April Fool's as an idea, as a holiday. It's not like one of those stupid greeting card, you know, make a lot of money for some business somewhere holiday. It's actually like a real social fun holiday where you don't have to buy anybody anything. You just lie to people.
Yeah, because now, now we have what? National Cat Day, National Dog Day, National Pie Day.
One holiday that truly celebrates human nature.
It's either National Pie Day or National Cake Day, but either way, I mean,
ice cream.
Pie is better than cake. Just saying.
Depends on the cake.
Depends on the pie.
It depends on the pie.
I'd any day have
now
pie
this is talking. Now we're having a podcast.
Yes. Now if you're talking cheesecake, then you're having pie and
I'm
cake.
Not a big fan. You don't like whoa.
I just said
what's your dessert of choice, Larry?
It's too liquidy. I'm sorry.
Not all pie is liquidy.
Dessert
pumpkin
fan.
Pie.
But
not
if you had to choose,
I don't like pumpkin.
Chocolate pie. Chest pie.
Chocolate pie is okay.
Now, Larry, you're saying that you're not a big
dessert.
Hold on. You're saying you're not a big dessert fan, but your belly is calling you a liar.
What the
hell? Oh
my gosh! Did we just go there?
Larry, I think you're a very attractive person. I think you look fine just the way you
and
are.
I know several women that would agree with you.
Thank you, Larry.
I'm just saying, out of that conversation, I'm just saying.
Round is a shape. Larry got in shape. Round is a shape.
Here's the question.
It's like me, I'm in shape. Line is a shape.
I'm sorry, okay? I love you.
What is your go-to dessert?
No, you're not, and no, you don't.
what is your go-to dessert?
I mean, I like ice cream.
Oh, yeah, man.
Well, that's dessert.
That is.
I mean, if I, you know, Bluebell homemade vanilla.
Wow. Yeah, really, though, just the vanilla, nothing fancy.
I mean, I like some of their other flavors, but that is my favorite.
So it's
a little taste of home.
It's the only ice cream that actually tastes like homemade ice cream to me.
Oh, I'll grant you that one. Ben and Jerry's ain't bad. I love Ben and Jerry's.
I've tried. There's all kinds of other crap, but yeah, Ben and Jerry's. It's like a little bit of ice cream with a bunch of
candy,
miscellaneous. No, whatever. Really
hey, but that strawberry candy. Cheesecake ice cream is good.
I like all of Ben and Jerry's. I don't think
I don't like all of it.
I don't
but
think I've ever met an ice cream I don't like.
They did do a limited edition key lime pie ice cream.
I love key lime.
That was nothing but key lime pie and
that,
then giant swirls of graham cracker crust. I was living in California when I found that. I only got one pint of it. I go back the next week and it's gone. And they said, "Oh, well, it was just a limited edition thing. It was gone. They discontinued it already." I was like, "No! Why did they do that?"
I love key lime pie.
Damn you, Ben and Jerry's, for cussing me.
Yeah, really.
City bus.
What's your first name?
That's cool. Yeah.
Now, what about pecan pie?
Right there.
Tell me you like pecan pie at least,
you
Larry.
You know, pecan pie,
it's a southern staple.
Chess
pie is too,
I'm
but I'm talking traditional. But I'm just talking traditional southern dessert pie.
I'm not a fan of
legumes in my dessert.
Why are we doing a dessert podcast?
I'm not a fan of
dessert podcasts. We are not going to talk about anything comic book related today at all.
Did Larry bring up strawberry rhubarb?
It could be.
It might be.
I have a rhubarb joke.
Strawberry rhubarb.
He said legumes.
Legumes.
He brought up legumes.
I brought up legumes. I don't like
the. Are you talking beans?
Legumes?
Legumes.
Are legumes beans?
Yes.
Legumes are legumes.
Peanuts.
Peanuts and shit like that.
No, I thought I thought they were beans.
They're technically seeds. Considered beans.
Yes, beans and peanuts and seeds. And a couple other things, but not pecans.
If it comes in a pod,
pecans
it's a legume.
Nuts.
Pecans are nuts.
Is there another? Wasn't there another word for nuts?
Yeah, cashews, almonds, peanuts.
Goobers is not a nut.
Goobers?
A goober?
That's a goober? What, no, I'm serious. Goober.
Yeah,
a
goober is a word for peanut.
What else are we going to talk about?
Goobers.
Are we going to keep going goober. With food and dessert and stuff?
Hey, I can talk about food all day.
Tickets. We got our tickets for Fanboy, and I'm starting our costumes already. Nice. I'm very excited. We're doing the classic Batman villains and... getting ready for everything. We've got Penguin already made because I made it years ago, so nice. I'm just pulling it out of the dust. And then I'm making the Mad Hatter for my number two son. My number one son is going to be classic Joker. Nice. And then my youngest son is going to be the Riddler.
Very
so
fun.
I'm working on those. So when we meet Adam West and Burt Ward, we're
ready.
We are going to be meeting them. Yes.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool.
When you say number from the one, Batman movie, you're not saying your favorite.
You're
not ranking.
No,
that's how I do it.
I'm talking chronologically.
Well, no, this is the thing. We subscribe to the Charlie Chan factor. He always numbered his children. This was number one son. This is number two son. This is number three son. We grew up like that because we watched Charlie Chan when we were younger. And in my house, we had four girls. I was number three daughter. And my children are number one son, number two son.
Every week my kids have a rating. And I rate them every week. This week you're number one. Next week you have to try harder, dude.
Yeah, it's like you're my favorite.
You weren't that entertaining this week.
Yeah, it's like you're my favorite today, but you might be my favorite tomorrow.
One week I put the neighbor's kid on there. I'm like, y'all both screwed.
It's like he came over and well, mowed the yard. Yeah.
Hey, it's the dance mom pyramid that she does on her show. You know, no matter what, Maddie is at the top. It's okay.
Speaking of Batman, we had Mark Hamill reprise his role as the trickster.
I didn't watch that yet, but I saw it last night.
I was so disappointed.
I was disappointed with it. So you know,
Let's try not to spoil anything.
I thought it was great because it does pay homage to the original, the 90s series. And Mark Hamill just pulls off that Joker-esque quality.
Well, it wasn't the Joker voice. Chronologically, the Trickster came before the Joker in the cartoons, and Trickster used the same voice.
I'm going to make this easier for you guys. I'm going to step outside for a minute. You guys talk, and then I'm coming back.
All right, but here's the thing, though. Like there was
no,
so
the animated series, no the live action flash. Yeah.
But the Trickster in the animated came before Mark Hamill did his Joker in the animated.
Well, whatever. But
chronologically, I looked it up yesterday before the thing because dude was saying, "Oh, it sounded too much like the Joker voice and not the Trickster voice." I said, "No, he did the Trickster voice before."
Yeah, you're right. You are right.
And it sounded more like the Joker.
That was basically proto Joker, but Mark Hamill didn't know he was going to be the Joker.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, though. There was so many times, and you can distinctly pick it out, like during the episode, where he was really having to refrain from sounding like the Joker because he was right on that cusp of even laughing like him, talking like him. And plus, like I said, I was kind of disappointed. I thought it was going to be like way more than what it was.
Honestly, that's basically what it was, right?
Yeah.
Well, they could have done
a lot more with it because, with how he was like, you know, doing the final part of that episode, it could have been so much better. Honestly,
because they were telling two stories at the same time.
They were telling the Wells story,
and then they had basically
the Reverse Flash.
How the Reverse Flash and Wells are connected, how they're the one person. And then they had basically the Trickster story, but there was parallels.
Yeah, there's a little bit of parallel, but not by much.
And
I'm going to watch it this afternoon.
I'm not going to spoil it. But there's a fantastic line that you would never expect.
There's a Star Wars hint.
Well, I didn't notice it, but whatever. But
didn't notice it?
I don't care.
It's like one of the most iconic lines from Star Wars.
yours.
I don't care.
Who was
saying it? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
I don't think he cares.
I'm your father.
All right. Yeah. Now I know what you're talking about.
Oh, now you spoiled it. You spoiled
it. Yeah, you spoiled it, Larry.
I didn't watch the show. I was just joking.
All right. Well, at any rate, so me personally, if I was the person who was on the writing staff,
Mark Guggenheim is the showrunner.
All right. If I would have been in that room, I'd have been, you know, seeing where that episode was going to be.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, no, you can't do this. You cannot have the backstory of the Flash and the Reverse Flash in the first, almost the entire first half of this one-hour episode, and then just barely do anything with the Trickster in the last half. You either have to have the entire episode of the Reverse Flash or do an entire episode of the Trickster.
They probably really wanted to get Hamill in there as the Trickster, but maybe he didn't have a lot of time to maybe do it.
It could
They basically put, you know, they had Wesley Allen Shipp from the original Flash in the 90s. They had, she played Christina McGee.
Dr.
McGee from the original series.
And
Mark Hamill. You know, but at this time, they were
Original series.
When they filmed this, he's probably just getting off that Star Wars work.
Yeah.
I mean, he may want to, you know, take a rest. So he agreed to do it because he was Trickster and he was like one of the more iconic people to come off that show.
Yeah.
To be in that show.
Yeah.
The new Star Wars trailer will be at Age of Ultron.
It's rumored that the new Star Wars trailer will be shown at Celebration in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Wait,
yes.
Is Mark Hamill going to be in the new Star Wars movie?
Definitely. No, he's not going to be in this new Star Wars movie.
I was only asking.
Oh, April Fools. Yeah, he's definitely going to be in there.
You dick.
I said, damn it, all these lies.
Well, I didn't know. I haven't been keeping up with it, so that's why I was asking.
Yeah, he's going
to
be there.
I think they're getting a lot of people to reprise.
Everybody.
Do cameos. Yeah.
I don't think they're cameos. I think they're actually integral parts of this chapter.
Well, I would certainly hope so. I would certainly hope so at some point.
Yeah, me too, man.
Well, there's also some
Leia and
talk
Luke's
about
kids.
Luke's kids, but there's Leia also been some talk kids. About...
Leia. That's bad. That's bad incest.
I had the Jedi power.
All right, my bad. I didn't mean for us to go in that direction.
You took it that direction, you evil bastard.
I had no idea where I was going.
It's the redneck fourth, Harry. Hey.
My lightsaber's kept together by baling wire and duct tape.
Jesus.
Space duct tape. It's shiny.
There's a leak on the outside of the spaceship. Let me go out here with this duct tape. I'll fix it right up. We get on, get on.
Right next Star Wars. That'd be awesome.
They need to make that. That would be
can
awesome.
You see Saturday Night Live? Hey. You watch Saturday Night Live?
Are we talking what I think we're talking about?
The Rock.
I didn't watch it.
He played live action Bambi.
What?
Live action Bambi. Where they go into a hunting lodge, you know. It's great. It's
here's a sign for you. Deer crossing.
Yeah, deer crossing B.
Okay.
It's awesome. But he's got a new movie coming out this weekend. It's probably going to do pretty well.
Yeah, Furious 7.
They're saying
I'm looking forward to
quarter
it.
Of a billion worldwide over the weekend. That's their...
Yeah.
That's a lot of
it's cars!
Hey, I'm looking...
Skydiving out of planes and jumping from buildings to buildings.
That's amazing!
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, it is going to be the last one of the series, so...
No, it's not.
What, it isn't?
Nope. They've already confirmed the next one will
They want to make it all the way till 10.
And this 7 will be... starts a trilogy. 7, 8, 9 will be a trilogy. And that's as much as I've heard. I would like them to do up to 10.
I heard, well, before...
And have everybody.
By that time, Paul the technology died, will be sufficient enough that 10. We will have a clone of Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Well, back for number 10.
Well, in 7, the technology's there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does have
he didn't film half of that movie.
I think he does have a brother who looks a little bit like
that's
him.
That's who they had
stand-in for. Yeah, he had two brothers who stood in for him in the movie. And then they did,
the CGI face.
I mean, are they going to end up doing something like, Fast and the Furious versus Gone in 60 Seconds?
Or that would be awesome.
Something like that.
That would be awesome.
I wouldn't mind that. Gone in 60 Seconds is a little bit dated.
Hey, hold up.
Hold on.
It was made in like the 60s.
Original Gone in 60 Seconds was made, it was like, that was the movie that set the world record for most car crashes in a film, and then H.B. Halicki, who made that movie, made the sequel, and he beat his own record, which included a helicopter, I do believe.
Yeah.
And a boat.
It's hard to steal cars, especially cars that cost $100,000.
$100,000? Hell, there was some cars.
$100,000 plus. But yeah.
Yeah, there's some million-dollar cars in those movies.
And they wrecked them all.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean.
I don't think I'd want to see that.
Crossover. Gone in 60 Seconds and Fast
I want to see Nick Cage as the Ghost Rider in Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
God.
Ghostbusters! Yeah. Hey, just, so have, like just have him turn into the Ghost Rider and be like, outrun this motherfucker.
I'd be okay with that.
Fly like a bat out of hell on a bike.
When he had the car or whatever?
Nah, well, Ghost Racers is a book coming out.
Oh, really?
That's the one you were showing with all the machine guns on the horses and stuff.
He was here for that.
Oh, yeah, it was on the Centaur. There's a Ghost Rider Centaur in it.
And it looks just like it.
It looks amazing, dude. So, it's like every Ghost Rider ever as part of Secret Wars, because every character ever is going to meet up, and yeah, they're going to have a big race, like a death... It's Death Race meets Ghost Rider.
Okay, maybe I'm into that.
Yeah,
it kind of sounds pretty good.
So, after the Secret Wars, they're going to pretty much cancel Ghost everything. Racers. And
well, they're canceling pretty much everything leading up to Secret Wars. But once every...
I heard the X-Universe is not going to be part of the main Marvel Universe.
What we know right now is... Tom Brevoort, the editor-in-chief, or big guy over at Marvel, said that post-Secret Wars, yes, the X-Men will sort of have their own little corner of the universe.
And
they won't be in the same thing.
So
I don't know
be
if I
the,
like that.
We don't have, Disney doesn't have the rights universe.
Yeah, that's where
probably
Namor hangs out, and the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, they all hang out there.
Well, they haven't said anything about doing a Fantastic Four book.
Well, they haven't yet, but I really think... They haven't said anything about doing any books
except for the Avengers.
All new, all different. Avengers. Yeah, that's the only one that's been announced. That's
all
a weird
new,
book.
All different Marvel Now 1.32.
Dark.
Yeah.
Crisis.
Ultimate.
Yeah,
Secret.
Secret. We're not even supposed to be talking about Secret Wars.
The first rule of Secret Wars is you don't talk about Secret Wars. The second rule of Secret Wars is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Yes.
All right. Fight Club. What's Fight Club?
Yeah. Quiet, you.
All right, but hey. I'm a
Fight Club comic book.
All right, there are a
down
lot
with the volume. Down.
There are a lot of comic books that are going to be released as part of Battle World and Marvel Secret Wars. What would we count earlier? Like 15 or 20 titles?
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's,
there's no way. There's no way I'm going to be able to buy all those, man.
Yeah, I mean, these two have been, were like sitting here before the show started, practically having to get out, like, you know, a year calendar trying, how many new books are coming out that they're going to have to get. It was like a very high number. It was like into the 30s, wasn't it?
There's a lot, dude.
Yeah.
As cool of a time as it is, it's a great time to be a comic book fan. So much is happening at so many different publishers. It's a hard time to be a comic book fan who's been a fan for a long time. Everything's ending, everything's stopping at DC and Marvel.
Yeah, but
and it's just
that's why
yeah, but for someone like me who hasn't really ever read anything, and as I've been progressively, you know, reading the new 52s of Green Lantern, New Guardians, and the Flash, and all these indies that you've been putting me on, which every single one that you've asked me to read
has been great,
and I've loved it.
Because I'm an awesome guy. I'm a great person.
But, with everything ending, that's why I just jump ship to indie almost entirely.
Yeah,
where
Jesse used to read some Marvel here and there, but
I used to be
Image.
Mainly Marvel and... And
honestly,
DC,
you can't really go wrong with
well,
that.
Well, I mean, I've only read one Marvel book from Captain America Theater of War, and I've liked it, but, you know, I'm sticking with Green Lantern, New Guardians, and the Red Lantern Core series of the New 52, and the Flash of the New 52.
If you move over to Image, you can find a book that will match the taste, pace, and tone of just about any book going on at Marvel or DC. You're just not going to have that crossover.
Yeah.
The series aren't going to cross over. They're not in the same universe. A lot of people bitch because they're in the same universe. That it hurts books that, you know, they live. Like
I mean,
Larry always says, why would Iron Man do anything when he can just call Hulk to do all of his stuff? You know, and that's a good point.
But, I mean, I miss that a little bit, and it's like, I still read that, but it's just not a priority.
Why would Captain America do anything if he could just call Iron Man to come and help?
But they mess stuff up so much these days.
It really is.
I thought he was making that point about the movie.
Iron Man is a
douche. Yeah, that was the point I made about the movie.
Iron Man's a douche.
But it works in the comics.
It does. I mean,
it does.
You know, and especially if you are Iron Man, you are the kind of douche that, especially the current one, be like, "Hey, what if I give you $100,000? Will you go smack that guy?
Take care of my life."
Smack that. I like that. It's like he's not. It's not even a bad guy or like a big fight. It's just like go slap that guy around a little bit.
I got Heather dying over here. I'm sorry.
It's a great time to be a comic book fan, but it's a hard time to be a comic book fan, dude. No.
I'm worried about him and chocolate now.
There's 25 number one issues coming out in a month. Not only is it impossible to decide what you want to buy, but it's got to be difficult to order.
From the retailer standpoint.
I mean, it almost seemed like that previews book. Remember when I was sitting here flipping through it last week? It seemed like it was thicker than it normally was, or normally is.
DC has a lot more books.
Retailer point of view, you know, because the customers are confused about what they want.
Yeah.
It makes.
Especially when Marvel doesn't get buybacks.
You're stuck with whatever you get. It's not what the retailer wants. It's what we think we can move to our customer.
Well, here's the bad part in case any of our listeners don't know. Okay. If you're a comic book fan who has a comic book shop of choice, you go to that comic book shop and you're probably not going to go to another one.
Yep.
No matter if they have your book or not. But let's say you order 10 copies of one of these Secret Wars books that you're not sure is going to sell very well. It ends up selling very well. You have a new customer come in looking specifically for that book, and you don't have it on the shelves. That new, quote-unquote, new customer probably is not going to be a new customer of yours because you let them down. That's just how retail works. And Marvel and DC seems to be almost setting you up, the retailers up, to have this happen and for you guys to fail. And it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And there's also an opportunity for you guys to sell books, you know, new good books. But
it is.
It's hard. It's got to be difficult, man.
But also, but here's the thing, too, you know, with then stuff coming immediately out in trade, there's less of a demand for back issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's also.
Yeah.
I mean, almost every series has trade paperback.
Exactly,
so right? There's almost no point of actually getting, like, regular books
we don't
anymore.
Sell that we have to eat. We cost us the profit on two we did.
Yeah.
So,
what are you going to do? You can't really do nothing. You're at there. They don't even ask.
It's a monopoly. That's just what you're dealing with.
And especially with Marvel, I feel like Marvel like tries harder than DC, I think, to make this like idea of scarcity and like, you know, and variants.
Second printing.
And variants and all these different things where they're like, no, this is a different version of the same thing. And when they have like 10 different variants for something, it's
only
like,
Marvel
which
and
ones
DC
do you
can
pick?
Get away
like,
with that, though. Only Marvel and DC can
Well, I mean, as an equivalent, it's the same thing with some motorcycle manufacturers, dude. They make
I'm just saying this.
The only equivalent I can give is like sometimes they will only make a very limited edition version of a bike and then make just a certain number of those, and then that's it. They don't make any more ever.
But that's not really the way it is here, because, I mean, the way in comic books, especially with Marvel and stuff.
No, it would be if
they don't.
If they say, okay,
kind of.
And I've seen Harley do this.
You have
this
to buy a six pack.
Here's a 100th anniversary Harley limited edition, you know. And then 6 months later, we have the exact same bike with a different color paint.
And without that little limited edition sticker on it.
A different limited edition sticker.
That decal, what they did was 1903 to 2003 was 100 year limited edition.
But that's
edition.
The variant covers. People are paying for that scarcity of cover.
Yeah, and then next year they came out with the same exact bike. It just didn't have that little decal on the tank.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell any different.
If you buy the collected, those variant covers are going to be in the back.
Yeah, but for whatever. Yeah.
You'll get what you want, you just won't get exactly what they're selling.
Yeah, and that's why I get all. That's why I only buy trades most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you've seen me buy trades out here.
If you just want to read the comics, trades are definitely the way.
Yeah,
to
and
go
that's the way I prefer.
They're definitely a good way to get the issues and everything.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
Image.
Especially if you're Image, because Image feels like it comes out the week after,
yeah. And then it's $10.
And the first one's always $10.
Yeah, and it's Mark Miller. And this past weekend, DC's
terrible to read if you're reading trades.
DC's some stuff they don't collect. Stuff they don't collect, and then it's always you always have to wait like a year after it's already out.
Marvel's pretty good month after they do the trade, but it's usually more expensive to buy the trade than it is to go back and find those issues.
Yeah, well, here's the thing though. This past weekend,
Image really feels like they're trying to sell the trade.
I'm gonna fucking crack a chair on someone's skull.
Most of Image's market is on the trades. I mean, how much Walking Dead? How many Walking Dead trades do they sell?
For the last 6 months, I think Saga number one has been the number one best selling trade, or at least in the top five.
Well, it should be.
Yeah, I agree. Amazing. It's amazing, phenomenal. Like it's one of the best things.
I think Josh has something to say. And Larry's going to interrupt as soon as you start talking. So get ready.
I am waiting.
He's going to get up. He's going to get up.
Oh, lost your wallet. That's why the chain's there.
But, okay. Larry's going to get a sword. Larry's probably got a sword back there.
He's going to get Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
He's going to get the owner. It's going to be...
Josh put his knife on the table. I think Larry's going to go get the samurai sword.
That's not a knife.
Well, all right. What I was going to say was this past...
So what about The Walking Dead?
There you go. No real violence in the comic shop. Just animated, drawn,
so go ahead, Josh,
and...
What about what?
All right, well, I stockpiled Green Lantern, the new 52, the new Guardians versions.
Okay.
I got the first, second, third book. I'd been putting them off... You know, for a while because I had that big stack that I had to read through.
They're good reading, man.
Yeah, I binge read all three books over the weekend, and I could not stop reading them.
And who's writing on that? That's Geoff Johns' early stuff, or is that Robert Venditti when he jumped on?
It was Johns and what was that guy's name? The artist on it,
Mankey, Doug Mankey.
No, not him.
Was it Doug Mankey?
If it's Geoff Johns,
it was like a big long name. It started with a C, I think. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Well, either way, the artwork was absolutely immaculate. Awesome. The coloring was immaculate. I loved it.
And
like I said, I binge read all three of them, and I'm like hungry for the fourth one, but I had to get Mark to put it on order because he doesn't have it in stock right now.
Wonderful shop this is.
It's fine. I don't care. I got the Red Lanterns to read, so I'm good.
It's just that good. They keep selling out of it. It's just that good.
Well, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the fourth one.
Too, with any shop, we can't carry 50 of everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean.
You can order anything you want, though.
But the third book, the third trade in that, was great.
Green Lantern, New Guardians.
Yeah, Green Lantern, New Guardians. Yeah, Green Lantern, New Guardians.
Okay,
it is Mankey.
Yeah. All right. The third book was like it's $17. It was like it's almost an inch thick.
Is he a Pokemon?
Nice.
It's almost an inch thick. I got about almost 2.5 hours, like 2 hours and some change worth of reading time. Reading time out of that book, and it's like just for the monetary value, it's so worth it. Because there's like, I think there was like almost 20 comics in that one book.
Nice.
Which
is
great. It kept me reading for hours.
Yeah. A lot of that's, the Green Lantern stuff is tough to read and trade because of the events. There's, Godhead, and then before that it was...
Just in the New 52 by itself, there is Rise of the First Army.
Yeah.
There's Wrath of the First Lantern. There is Lights Out.
Yeah, that was actually good. Lights Out was fun.
There's Lights Out. There is...
I think it was
all happened so...
Uprising. Well, there's Godhead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was all...
There's 3 years. There's only 3 years of Green Lantern books.
No, I mean, here's the thing.
That's why I stopped reading DC.
It's not really... those events are his way of breaking the trade paperback arc. You know,
yeah, I understand.
He really, that's his whole story, you know, that he can't compress it into six issues.
And it's like what Jewel said, DC's got franchises. And they try to keep all the Green Lantern stuff together and cross it over. Well, Superman, Batman, it's all the same way.
Well, and here's the thing, though. Like, for me, not knowing any of the back history with, like, Kyle Rayner or Guy Gardner or a lot of the history with, you know, with Hal Jordan or John Stewart. Yeah, I mean, for the new Guardian books, just binge reading 1 through 3, it's a lot of history. And it was all pretty congruent. It all ran pretty evenly, you know, with a nice time, you know, fresh, straight timeline in it, too.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So yeah, it's good stuff, man. And I'm looking forward to the fourth. So
awesome.
And then what's that one that you, like, I saw?
Skull Kickers?
Yeah, Skull Kickers.
Skull Kickers is awesome. It's Jim Zub's writing it.
Issue 100.
Yeah, issue 100 is coming out. Numbering on that book doesn't matter. There was an entire arc where every book was a number one, and one of them was Uncanny Skull Kickers. The other one was All New Skull Kickers. The other one was Dark Skull Kickers.
Well, I mean,
just playing off the
Amazing Skull
Kickers. Well, I mean, because there was a book back in the day by Slave Labor Graphics where everything was number one.
Yeah.
It was like, and then there was our second number one, then it was our first number two, you know, and.
Skull Kickers is sort of like a tongue-in-cheek comedy fantasy Dungeons and Dragons game where you drink too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, because like because
the entire last arc, there's actually a joke in it. Halfway through the entire book of issue 31 just came out last week. It's the final arc of the series. Halfway through the book, the whole book is a bar fight. But halfway through the book, the writer's like, "Yes, this entire issue is going to be a bar fight." But not only that, this whole arc is going to be one giant bar fight. Like, the whole panel is just, it's going to be a huge bar fight.
That was the only bit of dialogue in the entire
book. Yeah, pretty much, dude, pretty much. Everything else was, you know, puns with hitting people over the head with beer bottles.
Well, I mean, you know what I like, and you know that I've been playing that D&D game here on Wednesdays after the podcast. So, you know, pretty much anything that you say I should read or recommend to me, I've been taking it with a grain of salt, but I've never been disappointed. So.
Jim's, this is a bit different from a lot of stuff he's doing. This is a lot of comedy in Skull Kickers. He did Figment, which is high fantasy with a little whimsical sort of view to it. He did Wayward, which is high fantasy with a street level to it.
Yeah.
He did Pathfinder over on, I think he's doing Pathfinder.
IDW or something?
It might be Dynamite. It's one of those, either IDW or Dynamite. But there, it's strictly high adventure, role-playing, you know?
He did Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack, which was just like Samurai Jack.
Yeah, it was exactly like
Samurai Jack. Yeah, so he's a really good writer.
Okay, so I have a question.
I hope he gets more work.
Yeah. How did your game night go?
Just came out.
Oh. Yeah,
very good book. Definitely check that.
I want to know how his game night went.
Oh, at the library. Gallatin Library, Gallatin, Tennessee. Yeah, we had a game night last week.
Yeah, I told Gomer this earlier, but I'll tell you. Hardly anyone showed up, but it's not really surprising because anything that happens at the Gallatin Library that they try something new generally takes some traction to make any traction. And so they're going to do it again later on this month.
Cool.
So... you know,
so it's going to be a recurring thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a recurring thing. I think like once people like realize
once it catches
that
on,
yeah, once it catches on, more people will probably come to it. But so it was me and like four other people, and we played.
Well, that's all you need for a game, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, we played the Resistance 2 or 3 times. Played a game of Gloom, game of Munchkin, but by that time, like there wasn't a lot of time left, so we weren't able to like play Castle Panic or Ticket to Ride or anything like
sounds
that.
Sounds like a Sunday at the comic shop.
It does. Sounds like open game day at the comic book shop.
Yeah. So, and before they buy any more games, they're going to see how it goes probably for another 2 or 3 months. And then,
awesome.
And then once that happens, then they'll probably,
they allow people to check out Ticket to Ride.
Well, yeah, you can go there and actually...
You can just play it there.
You can't check it out.
It's a reference game.
Yeah. It's a reference game. Nice, Larry. Nice one.
It's a reference
library
game.
Library joke.
We have a whole library of reference games.
It's
here.
Not really a Comics reference game. Those are store games. Playtest. Quote-unquote playtest games.
Yeah, we have about 50, 60 of them.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of the point?
Well, yeah, you gotta...
I mean, because...
People aren't gonna put a $50 investment into a game...
That they haven't played.
That they haven't played. Monopoly, Scrabble, when you go get $13, who gives a shit?
Well, I never played Pandemic before I bought it here. But
I don't think that much, though.
I've never been disappointed by it because I've played it like 30, 40 times already. I mean, I've never beaten it, but I have a lot of fun playing that game regardless.
Well, see, I can't say that you won't make an investment in something. I'm actually into collecting Monopoly games, and I love trivia.
They have plenty of them here.
I have a huge collection of trivia games at home because I'm a trivia buff.
That Power Grid, so. Larry, how much is Power Grid?
Sure. I think that's $69.99.
It's a fun game, but it's...
Or actually, it's $74.99.
But who's going to... I mean, it's a difficult...
It's $45.
It's $45.
No.
Yeah. It says 45.
This is a difficult game to justify purchasing at over 50 bucks or around 50 bucks. If you've never played it, even if it's awesome and amazing, you might not like it.
Yeah, I mean, you know? it can be likened to trades. It can be likened to trade paperbacks. Like, that's why Image is doing so good. That price point is like, even if this isn't something I'm into,
an introductory price point. If you can get them hooked on Trade Volume 1 at 10 bucks, they'll spend 20 or even 25.
Yeah, and that's where like,
but they're usually only 15.
Yeah, and that's which where is even better. And that's where Marvel's messing up.
Yes. I don't think they're messing up because they're still making money. They make more money on the weeklies, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I know they do, but I'm saying like,
I know, but
I'm saying from getting people in from the movies, if that first,
I don't think that happens.
It does.
I just don't think that happens as much.
You know, speaking of movies, Toho has revealed at least a little bit of the name of Godzilla.
Oh, what? No.
Oh, yeah.
There goes Tokyo.
I haven't even watched the last one.
Well, the 2016.
I have the whole collection of.
Are we talking the American one or the Godzilla, last Japanese Godzilla?
Japanese Godzilla. I mean, I have the whole collection of black and whites up to the, you know, Technicolor add-ins and all that. I actually don't have that one because I can't say Matthew Broderick. But
really?
It was okay as
Ferris
a movie.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I've never seen it.
Everybody. And Ferris Bueller is
Cameron. Actually Cameron.
You know, the funny part is, like, Matthew Broderick has had a long career of
awesome
acting,
but
everyone always references Ferris Bueller whenever
that's
they talk about him.
That's his best.
War Games!
War Games!
I actually like him. I did like him in Inspector Gadget.
Biloxi
I thought that
Blues,
was a cute movie.
Did you ever watch Biloxi Blues?
No.
You should so watch that. It's very important.
I have issues with Tom Cruise and with Matthew Broderick.
I didn't mind his Godzilla.
It's not that bad.
I didn't like Godzilla.
Really, really
drawn.
But that's the thing. I'm not a Godzilla fan.
Yeah.
So
I would say I am not the traditional woman. I have issues with Tom Cruise, Mel Gibson, and with Matthew Broderick. I can't stand any of them.
A lot of people have issues with Tom Cruise and Mel Gibson.
There's a lot of women that have issues with those gentlemen. Almost all Jewish, but
It's not that.
Or ex-girlfriends.
For me, honestly, you know, all these women are like, oh, they're so cute, they're so handsome. No, they're really not. I mean, they're just
Mel Gibson is getting kind of grizzled.
He's been crazy. Every time I see him, he looks crazy to me. But he is kind of off his shit.
But back to Godzilla real quick. They did show like the foot of Godzilla.
Yes.
Which
that's the logo I think they're using for the movie.
It might be the logo, but it's different from previous Godzillas.
Yeah, but the footprint of Godzilla, isn't that like the size of a city block?
Well, maybe it's like a half.
It depends on the era of the Godzilla.
But this was just like a picture of
it. Just a picture of a print.
On a white
background. Depends on how big the budget was for that movie.
Yeah, right.
But
depends on how much the guy wearing the costume.
It kind of has a very dinosaur look to it.
Just the footprint.
Yeah. But the thing is, the other bit of information I can take away from this is that the special effects director from the Heisei era Gamera films is involved. So
that's good.
That's real good.
See, I have a problem with anything that references Godzilla to being a dinosaur. Because he was not a dinosaur.
Yeah, he was a lizard.
In the Heisei era, he was a dinosaur. He was a dinosaur that lived in modern times.
But nobody truly recognizes that aside, though.
That's true. It just depends on
Anybody who's a true fan, he was a lizard.
In Godzilla Raids Again, which is the second Godzilla film, they speculate that Godzilla and Ankylos were both dinosaurs that were irradiated by atomic energy from the nuclear bomb test in the Bikini Atolls.
But he wasn't a dinosaur.
But in the second movie,
he's just an iguana.
I'm making that movie. That's my
Bad Luck Iguana. New band name called it.
Hey guys, can I mention this book I've started reading?
Sure. The cover is really neat. It's like a video game.
Yeah, it looks like an Xbox 360 game.
It looks like it uses
for the game
the font for Halo.
Yeah, it does use the font for Halo.
It does.
But it's a book about video games.
Yeah. So. What it is, it's a book called Game Slaves by Gard Skinner, and it's like I've only read like four chapters into it so far, but so far I've
But they don't call them chapters.
They call them levels.
So instead of chapter one, it says level one.
That's pretty neat.
But what it is, it's a perspective from the NPCs of a game.
But like, they're the NPCs of every game.
Yeah, of every game.
You know, that sounds an awful lot like
Wreck-It Ralph.
Non-player.
Well, I don't know. I've never read it.
I was going to segue into this into non-players. Yeah. Finally, after 10 years, we got issue number 2.
We're getting issue number 2 in 3 months.
All right, back in...
Back before Comic City 2 is at the current location.
It was been way
like
over there
3 years.
By the tire store, which is now like a meat store.
3 years, correct?
Tire meat store.
Yeah.
Tire meat.
But
non-player one came out, and then the dude had some health issues and some personal issues and some professional issues, and he just kept getting pushed off and pushed off, and now 10 years later, we got non-player two.
Yes,
today.
No,
next week.
Non-player one, third printing.
Was reissued.
It came out today.
Next month. The month after, something like that.
That is the April previews, so we're going to see that in July. The April preview.
Why do they have the issue one come out?
I guess
they're trying to
set up the interest in it again.
They're trying to set it up the monthly schedule again. Yeah. I guess this is finally back on schedule, and issue three will come out the month after issue two comes out,
right.
Which is, I mean, unheard of in comics, right? No, that's how it's supposed to happen.
Well, I mean, if Kirkman had anything to do about it,
issue 3 gave Fuller a miss and went directly into 6.
But non-player, dude, it came out where people would be like, oh, dude, did you read this non-player? It was so good. And then it was so long since we've seen issue 2. Yeah. So
that
long.
People have forgotten about
people
it.
People said, no, non-player didn't exist. It's a urban legend. Non-player has never been a thing.
Yeah.
It's con to that.
Wow. Okay.
And I've read it. It's great. Well, it's great. It's
one
fun.
One of the things about
I read it a long time ago. I don't even remember what it's like now.
Exactly.
I might pick it up again.
That's why I bought the third printing.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Well, one of the things about this book, Game Slaves, is, you know, from the NPC viewpoint, the NPCs, they're not just like of one particular game. They're like of every game, and you know, it's almost like that old cartoon reboot. So, like every game they go into, they. You know,
they
can be,
take over the characters.
Yeah, so they can either be aliens or zombies or war fighters
like
or
Ralph.
Yeah, or you know, or race car drivers or you know, or something like that.
You want to wreck it?
But the
voiceover guy, you dig it.
But the funny part is like one of the characters in the book, like from the first chapter, she's an NPC and she's wondering like, why are all these people shooting at me? You know, why are they trying to kill me?
She doesn't know she's in a video game.
I don't think she does. So she actually throws down her guns and holds her hands up and starts talking to the human player.
Oh,
and she's like, "Why are you trying to kill me? Can't we talk about this?" Da 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 da. Yeah. And so, like, as
that's
this goes,
cool
so as
Toy
this
Story, when well, they at, did well, the at, scene with yeah. Sid.
Well, as oh, yeah. well, I mean, as the scene goes on, as the scene goes on, the character, you know, the human character is like kind of being curious about it, and all of a sudden he lobs a grenade at her forehead because the human
that's
character
what
thinks
I do when I'm,
that,
yeah,
that,
I'm
that she's a suicide
I throw,
bomber.
Grenades at people's foreheads.
Well, I mean,
is it a spider? Get it off!
Well,
get it off!
The human player is getting like really edgy, so he throws a grenade at her, thinking that she's a suicide bomber because she keeps stepping closer to him.
Oh, weird!
Yeah, so
that's an interesting.
Yeah,
premise,
yeah. So I'm looking forward to reading through the rest of it.
There's a little red versus blue reference for you, right?
Yeah.
Hello. What else is happening, man? Today.
Larry's getting bored.
Well, you mentioned Walking Dead. You want to talk about the finale of Walking Dead?
You know,
dude,
it was fitting. It was so
horrible.
Fitting.
As, it was horrible.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
The hype pre-show. Oh, Daryl's going to die. Oh, Glenn's going to die. Somebody's going to die. And then, spoiler alert.
Somebody died.
Nobody died.
Yeah,
no,
it did.
One person died.
Yeah,
that dude didn't count.
Yeah, he was
two
a
people
dick.
Died.
No,
that
here's,
didn't count.
Here's, yeah. Here's yeah, what got died. Everybody, though. Here's what got everyone. It was put out on the Walking Dead Facebook page that by the end of the show, 25 people were going to die. So everybody goes into this thinking 25 people are going to be dead by the end of this episode, and one person dies.
And you know people were taking bets in Las Vegas on who was going to die.
Bet.
You know
oh,
they
I
were.
Bet. I bet about betting.
But you know what?
You're on.
But here's what I want to say about what happened.
Coming number two.
If Deanna would have listened to Rick in the first place and just taken out what's her name's husband. Deanna's husband would have still been living.
That's what we've learned from The Walking Dead. You can tell somebody something for days, but until they actually know it for themselves, they're not going to believe.
And plus, not to mention that Rick, you know, just flat out hauls a zombie over his shoulder covered in blood and just flings it onto the ground. It's like, here's what your problem is. That damn gate was open. Y'all are going to get people killed doing this the way you do.
Here's the one thing that I got out of the episode.
I was actually
going
to say,
like, seeing Deanna, that, that just that 4 seconds of her life, watching the change go from being the conscientious observer to do it.
Yeah, to the victim.
That right there was like, holy shit.
Yeah, when she just shut down, it was like, do what you gotta do.
You just saw that wall.
Well, then it happens immediately to Rick.
Right.
Yeah. That same thing, but in the opposite direction. There's my humanity, my anchor to humanity just walked right back in front of me after I just popped this dude in the dome for.
But in all fairness, Morgan doesn't know why it was done in the first place.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, Morgan
still,
just walked into
this
it.
This guy just killed somebody.
But
he
still,
needed to be
Morgan,
put down.
To Rick's
but
Morgan
mind.
Was given a good spiel from Daryl and Aaron.
About what was going on.
What was,
we're
what
saying
Alexandria was about. And Rick's, then the first thing he sees when he gets to Alexandria is a person being.
Bam!
Yeah,
but Jesse's husband, I mean, that wasn't nothing but a recipe for disaster. You're given an inveterate drunk who's got a power trip over being a doctor who beats his wife.
And destroys her art.
Destroys her art, takes Michelle.
Destroy it.
Yeah,
the
but
kid.
I mean.
Oh, was it the kid?
Yeah.
How did anyone not
you
see that?
I thought you weren't paying attention to this show.
I mean,
you
Rick.
Are, you just don't like what you're
Rick and everyone else saw
well,
that going on.
Amanda's so.
I mean, it's just.
Yeah. She has a,
you know,
Larry, what were your thoughts on the final episode?
I was actually going to say I wasn't disappointed.
Oh, yeah, wow.
I wasn't disappointed that much either.
Dude, there was a part where
anybody who
can we mark this
into
down
the
on the calendar as
April
a moment?
1st. It's April 1st, so we'll never believe it.
Yeah, true.
You know, has issues, but I actually enjoyed the episode. I thought it was pretty good.
All the hype pre-show about Daryl, and then there was like a Glenn rumor. I was like, okay, I'm ready. And then, you know, Daryl's in the car. And I'm like, okay, he's going to go out like a hero. I'm cool with that. And then he gets saved. I'm like, all right, that's okay. I really wasn't that upset. But then when Glenn, you know, is getting beat up, and then the zombie comes out, and then I freaked out.
So did
I.
Like,
do not do it. Yeah. I will never watch this again, like issue 100.
Yeah, G2.
Yeah,
would
you ever watch this again?
G2 Mark was sitting at home on the couch saying, Glenn cannot go out like a bitch.
Yeah.
He cannot go out like a bitch.
Yeah, I was sitting there. I was like, oh, no, no, like, no, not him.
I was, dude. But Mark hasn't read the comic since issue 100 when that occurred. Right?
To be fair, Mark hadn't read the comic for a long time when issue 100 came out.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
Mark?
By the way, can we talk about that trap at the grocery store with all those tractor trailers?
Nice. These wolves,
oh, my God.
These wolves are definitely...
Yeah, that was interesting, except for half the zombies came from the wrong side.
Both of them came from both sides. It's like they had both rigs
set up. Yeah, but they only
up.
Had trailers on one side.
It was weird.
The well, they had a
seemed a little.
They had a trip. They had a trip wired through all three rigs and the front. Of,
it was just.
Yeah, I mean, it was
quite elaborate.
Yeah, it was really elaborate. I mean,
especially by someone like Daryl, the tracker who can see all.
Well, I mean, the first thing I said when they started walking up on there, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Those locks don't look normal. They don't look right. It's too quiet.
Yes.
And with everything going on, there's either somebody living there or there's a big thing about to happen.
I like Death
and
by
I
License
told
plate.
My husband
that was nice.
Yeah, that was an interesting way to take out a zombie.
And
Death
he's
by
like, oh,
License
I've never
plate.
Thought I'd see one of these.
Yeah, and
he
kills
because Aaron.
Yeah, and he kills
the license plate.
Yeah, and he kills one with a license plate from Alaska.
Right,
but it was cool. It was an okay ending. I think this season, more so than any other season, has built up. To the next season.
Yeah.
The wolves have been a thing this entire season, and that's going to be the whole crux of next season. You know it is.
Well, I didn't know. Well, I didn't know.
Are the wolves going to be standing in for the saviors?
Yeah.
Well, are we going to see Negan?
Well, here's the thing.
Eventually,
we'll
see
Negan.
They want John Hamm to do
Negan. No, the wolves are standing in for... spoiler alert,
if you haven't read
a
comics.
Random act of nature that's supposed to happen.
Well,
because in the comic, it's just a herd hits the fucking town. It just happens. They don't know how to react.
So the wolves are going to
And all this other stuff, you know, has been This entire season has been a bunch of pandering and posturing to set up them eventually get. They're not going to be done with this pandering and posturing next season. It's going to go through it again.
And so we're going
at the end of next season, they're
going
to get to the where they're going to do the time jump and then the comic book.
So are we going to see? Are we going to see Carl get his head blown off?
I don't think they'll do that.
Carl,
they probably won't do that because CGI is so expensive.
Well, no, I mean, if they do it, they'll.
Well, they already have to do it with the knives and the swords and everything.
I hope they kill Carl. So that sounds stupid, but I really hope they do.
So, do you guys think that the spinoff that they're doing for like how the outbreak?
Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, Fear the Walking Dead.
But that's still a working title. That's not. Yeah.
Official
now. Yeah, I heard it was. I heard it was official too.
At first, I heard it was not the official that they were just calling it that, like they do. Like
it was the official, unofficial, official.
Yeah. But now I've heard it's official, officially.
Official,
bona fide.
Now, do you think it's going to be as good or as popular as The Walking Dead?
I think it will be equally as popular.
I think people will be
good is relative. Initially. I think it will be good because it's not based on anything that I've already seen.
Yeah.
It will be because it will be different.
And it's the outbreak of when it starts in Los Angeles.
The commercial, not commercial, the 15 seconds of nothing they're calling the trailer does allude to that, yes.
Yeah.
But it is. It's 15 seconds of nothing.
There's a flu going around. Hey.
Yeah.
But so they could talk that and then end up 6 months later and not show any of the.
They could advance the story a lot more and they could even theoretically have the years later.
We were hoping for Daryl, you know, since he's a rogue character anyway, we would love to have it a time when he just decides to leave, takes off
that'd
across
be fun.
Country, have him meet up with the
have
Los
a Daryl
Angeles
spinoff
friend.
Show.
Yes, and, that would be awesome. But,
I'd watch it.
But here's the thing, though. If they're doing this show pre-outbreak, they could tie in what's his name from the CDC.
Yeah, they could do a lot
from the first season. They could tie him into it.
A lot of possibilities.
I know.
Hey, wait. How are they going to tie him into it? He has literally blown himself up.
No,
he
said this
is pre.
He could go before that.
Yeah, this is pre outbreak in Los Angeles.
The outbreak and during the period of time when Rick is comatose.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But we're not sure. We're not sure of anything.
That's the thing, because at that point in the timeline, that guy who's still the head researcher at the CDC is still alive, along with his wife.
Now, I don't think they could incorporate Atlanta, but they could definitely maybe have some sort of communication was still open early on.
Yeah, and have him in the show as a guest character for a couple episodes.
I'd like to see both shows kind of meet, have them meet, and then next week there's a movie. You know what I mean? In the theaters. I think
all your tribes are going to be combined into one.
Yes. Snuff your tribal flame and reunite it with this tribal flame.
Under
the tribe
United
is spoken.
Flame.
It's kind of like what Alexandria was.
Weren't
they going to kick Rick out
at
that thing at Alexandria on that last episode?
Until Rick got there, y'all need me.
Yeah. Team West Coast Cali Kush meets Team East Coast Arrow Through the Skull.
There you go.
That would be funny.
What else we got going on?
Oh, MTAC.
MTAC is this weekend. That's the Middle Tennessee Anime Convention that's happening in Nashville Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And it's the Airport Marriott? Or is it the Sheraton?
There's two
locations. It's two locations because they said they will have shuttle service between both locations.
Mm. Yeah.
Both locations are a mile apart.
So,
Airport Marriott is not just a mile from the downtown Sheraton. That is a lot.
It's two, but they're only a mile
apart.
There's
two venues, but they're only a mile apart.
Saying they were offering shuttle service.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was fixing to say that the Airport Marriott is way on the other side of
the
city.
You out, Adam?
Yeah, I'm out.
Awesome. See you later, dude.
See
you. I'll hit you up this week.
Yeah, the Airport Marriott is like way on the other side of the city. So if they were going to talk about doing shuttle service between those two, that's like almost 10, 15 miles between
the two.
But
if you don't
have
tickets, tickets are still for pre-sale. You get them cheaper than at the door. If you want to wait to get them at the door, they'll definitely have them available. Lots of stuff going on, like from early Friday until late Sunday, all weekend
long.
It
starts up at like 8 in the morning on Friday and doesn't end till like 2 the following morning.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff going on.
I'm
going
to be so tired.
Awesome, be tired. Have fun, though. So, yeah, if you're in the Nashville area or even outside the Nashville area and want to make the trip in, I think it will definitely be worth it.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun time at a convention.
And hopefully it'll be a lot bigger.
This is the 15th year.
Last year's.
And they keep doing more and more, you know, stuff throughout the year, which all leads to their big show. So
I mean, hell,
we'll see, man.
Hell, the tattoo convention started originally as like a little know nothing
lone wolf tattoo convention.
Yeah, it started as a little know nothing tattoo convention, and now it's grown. Now it's grown to a huge convention.
Yeah.
That pulls like, you know, a couple thousand people like every single year.
Yeah, they're talking about moving it to a bigger venue.
Yeah, and they have a horror comic book and movie convention alongside of it, and people from the horror community of the movie community come and do commentary.
I'm definitely gonna try to get passes for that this year.
I try to go every year and I'm never disappointed by
it. And MTAC this weekend if you're in the area, definitely come. Thoughts? We want to wrap.
Yeah, it's been like an hour and a half.
I don't know. We're just over the hour mark.
Drew,
you got a final thought? Anything you want to say, buddy? Nothing. It's his birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, dude!
Almost one day, and it would have been April Fool's birthday. That would have been the best.
We talked to a waitress yesterday. Her birthday is actually today. She said it's the worst thing that could have ever happened.
And Christmas, I think, would be the worst birthday.
Yeah, Christmas.
No, because you're still getting gifts.
Mine's like a month.
Yeah, because
she gets gifts anyway.
If she gets gifts on April Fool's Day, everyone could just give her a big box of crap.
Crap, yeah, that does kind of suck.
Basically a gift that's like a rushing nesting doll.
Yeah.
A rushing nesting doll is a cat turd.
December birthdays and early January birthdays is the combination gifts.
You want to talk about a combination gift?
Right.
Yeah,
you're not even in the same month. You're not even.
Hell, my dad's birthday was December 30th, so basically.
Yeah, you
don't
get shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, every year he would get like Christmas and his birthday and New Year's all rolled into one, so it's just
niece,
like, yeah.
One of my niece, not really niece, but she's dead. Might as well be a niece. Her birthday is December 27th. No, her birthday is December 24th, Christmas Eve. But my wife always celebrates it in July. July 24th.
What?
Yeah, July 24th is
Christmas in July.
Because it's not birthday. Yeah. It's not near her birth. You know, it's not near Christmas.
I have an issue because I was stupid and I made my anniversary February 14th. So.
See.
Yeah.
And you can't screw with your old man, and he'll never forget your
anniversary. Exactly.
Mine's like November 2nd or 3rd. See, I don't even know.
I couldn't do
November.
If I had
taxes were due coming up. We need to get married before December 31st.
That's right.
You see, I couldn't do that. If I had a kid and their birthday was December 24th, I'd be like, look, your birthday is today, and you got Christmas tomorrow. We're just rolling it all into one, and you're not getting extra gifts. This is being cost efficient.
See that?
You will learn this later on when you are an adult.
Final thought.
I guess that is my final thought.
Yeah, birthdays in December suck.
All right, final thought. He's a cheap parent.
I'm not a parent yet.
There's no such thing as a cheap parent because kids are not cheap. But as far as my final thought, looking forward to Comic-Con, my gem movie in October. It's in June.
Okay.
Fanboy is where we're going. June 5th through 7th. There's actually Tara Reid is going to be there now. It's been announced.
Tara Reid was just in the news.
For the swimsuit thing, she looks like
people were worried that she looked too thin.
Yeah.
The Hollywood people cannot win.
No.
Either they're too fat,
too thin.
Shut up, people.
Or they don't eat enough.
Shut up, people. Damn.
Honestly, nobody can win.
Or they get too much surgery.
But that's cool if she's going to be there.
Tell her I said that.
I don't care what she looks like. She's great.
She's going to be there, and we're going to have... We still have to book a hotel and stuff, but we're excited. But
awesome.
Finished my gem comic book, too, and... I like it.
But not love.
But not completely love.
You seem really on the fence about
that. You should write a review.
I am. Well, I actually have one started. Awesome. I just haven't sent it to you.
Awesome.
But I was a little iffy on some of it, but I'm kind of waiting to see how it plays out.
It's gotten good reviews overall.
It has.
Very well received.
Honestly, I will give it a good review. It's just, I'm a little iffy-ish on it.
Awesome.
Some areas. So, anyway, but the movie for that comes out on October 15th, I believe, of this year. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, I'm done.
Triple J.
Come on, Jesse.
Man,
pimp your own stuff.
He ain't got nothing to say.
You do stuff on the weekends. You get
what's
podcasts.
This Sky Burial?
Sky Burial, my band.
Okay,
we're actually. Nothing going on this weekend other than me getting ready to record.
And nice. That's fun, dude.
That's good.
Studio time's always fun.
It's stressful is what
it's fun. It's fun.
But, yeah.
What kind of music do you play, just for the people listening?
It's,
Speedy Thrashy.
Well, no, not that. This one.
Oh, not this one?
Sky Burial is, like, usually the genre is called post-metal or post-rock. It's a whole lot of
clean... Post-what?
Post-metal, post-rock.
After
post
metal.
Of what?
Post-after-metal.
Well, post, the post-genres, I feel like I've actually talked about this on a podcast before, is pretty much that name means that it couldn't have happened without this genre forming and doing
it. It's like acoustic guitar. You don't need the name acoustic guitar until you've invented the electric guitar.
Yeah, because it's just a guitar before it.
Yeah, it was just a guitar before it.
Yeah.
Post-metal.
It's a predecessor
what did,
to
they
metal.
Used to call it something else. Like, it had like an evolution ancestor. Name to it. I don't remember. But it did. It used to have a different sort of.
Yeah, so...
But yeah.
It's a child cutting of
edge
metal.
Shit. It's cutting edge.
It's a child of metal.
Well, it's the same thing that happened with Johnny Cash. You know, he went into prison, and when he got out, you know, everyone moved on to electric guitars, and he was, like, wanting to go to Folsom and play with the same old pickers, but, you know, he still did the damn thing.
He still rocked it.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Or he countryed it. Huh? I said he, well, he still rocked it.
He rocked it.
Yeah.
Countryed it.
Yeah. I'm Western a little bit
country. Well, he wasn't really country music back then. He was like,
it was just music.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was just music or rock music.
He's right. There weren't a lot of genre.
Yeah, there was like almost no genres back then. It was mainly just Christian or country or stuff like that. Larry's getting tired. He's about to pass out.
He's gonna work all night. What are you guys talking about?
Really interesting to anybody other than me. All right, cool.
All right. I saw today that the Aquabats have an official YouTube channel with their very first official blog. In it, the MC Bat Commander makes a reference to Guardians of the Galaxy, which they were referenced in. So now there's a push to get the Aquabats a cameo role in
the Guardians,
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
James Gunn would probably be down with that.
I love that idea.
That'd be great.
James Gunn doesn't care.
Here's the Aquabats.
It's the best band you've never heard of.
Yes, it's the best band you've never heard of.
Okay.
That sounds like a good title for the CD.
Actually, I've never heard of them. Their tour before they hit it big, the Aquabat Super Show, and Yo Gabba Gabba was, if we don't make it, this is it.
And actually, fun fact... You knew one of the guys in the Aquabats because Travis Barker was in it
back in the
90s
when
he was in
Ska Band.
Yeah.
Back when it was like in 92 Ska Band punk metal.
Yeah, before he joined Blink 182, he was in the Aquabats.
But pretty much have you ever heard of Yo Gabba Gabba?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a kid's show.
Oh, it's great.
It has the big green creature with stripes. It has
it's like a
baby arm.
It's like a kid's show on
Party
LSD.
In my tummy. Yummy, yummy, yummy in my tummy.
I may have
but,
heard of it,
okay,
but I don't really care.
Okay. So,
have you seen Yo Gabba Gabba?
The lead singer of the Aquabats is the creator of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Okay.
Well, no, yes. And Mark Mothersbaugh is like co-man on that.
Yeah, but he's one of the guys responsible for that. But, you know, he does a lot of TV shows and stuff. But Yo Gabba Gabba and the Aquabats Super Show are two of the things he does. He has connections to, like, Homestar Runner and a few other things. He's, like, buddies with Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay.
I wish I was buddies with Weird Al. I wish I could just text him right now and be like, what's up, man?
Heather just showed me a picture of it. And
of Yo Gabba?
Yeah, and I've seen it. Flipping through the channels, but I never watched it just because
Drew,
I was just like, no.
I was grateful
my
Gabba
kids
Gabba
were old enough to
you?
Get out of that
He's
show
never
before
been
they got
a fan
into
of
it.
Child shows, more anime, Japanese stuff. He's
okay.
But for some reason, I like watching old episodes of H.R. Puffin stuff or Lidsville.
Well, then you would be right at home with Yo Gabba Gabba then.
Yeah.
Just about.
Yeah. There's a body in my tummy. That's where the food's going, to the party in my tummy.
Party in my tummy.
Yeah.
We don't hear our friends.
Yeah.
We don't.
So glad our kids are over now.
No, that show's actually pretty great.
Yeah, it's great.
That concludes my
Speaking of kids shows, man, there's a black and white copy like a perversion of a Teletubbies photo going around the internet. Dude, it's creepy as hell.
No, I'll show you.
It's like a black and white picture of the Teletubbies.
All right, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of
No Final Thought for you, Larry?
You know the final
that
thought,
that is
Larry?
His final thought. Goodbye.
He's like, yeah, Larry just wants to hang up the recorder. He's like, I'm tired of this crap. At least
good
for this
night,
show.
Elaine.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.